somewhere during the day. I got to find a way to keep in touch with Jesus. I can't allow myself to be separated from my closet time and get so far from my closet time that I lose touch with Jesus. The songwriter said, keep in touch with Jesus and he'll keep you sweet. Not keep in touch with the newspaper, not keep in touch with the Time magazine, not keep in touch with the daily news, but keep in touch with Jesus and he'll keep you sweet.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We invite you to join us today for the first half of Stay in the Closet, which is based on Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. So if you have your Bible, please open it to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of Stay in the Closet.
I'm going to ask that you'd open in your Bibles this morning to the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. And as I said, I'm keep on in this prayer series until the Lord says stop. Just seemed like every time I get ready to quit, he ties another message on. And I was ready to quit, and we were in Bible study on Wednesday, and God just tied one on. I was about ready to look for a place to land this plane on prayer. And God just tied another one on. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to what you have told me to do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Here Jesus giving instruction on prayer. And right before he gives instruction on prayer, he gives a little rebuke of the Pharisees. But in the midst of it, he gives us a peep into what our life should be about. And if you are not doing what Jesus said, then hopefully this morning you will make some corrections on your adjust your journey called life and be able to line up with what Jesus would have for you to do. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus says this, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and the Father who is in secret shall reward thee openly. And the title of my message this morning is Stay in the Closet. Stay in the Closet. God has given us a prayer closet. Now, once again, I'm not talking about any sexual orientation of individuals, I'm talking about as a Christian, that we ought to start off in the closet, and we ought to stay in the closet. Jesus gave us an insight into what prayer should be, and that all of us should have that closet that we can go into where we seek him. Now, when we talk about a closet, because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying, but the closet, and I know the choir can't see, so we'll put it back there for you to. We want y'all to stay in the closet too now. I'm using this, and Jesus actually uses this as a metaphor. And a metaphor is a comparison. And so he's saying that the closet is a representation of the place where you go to pray. And where is it that you go to pray? Wherever that is that you go to pray, then that's your closet. And so I want to talk about how can we take this prayer closet with us all day. You see, our problem is a lot of times is that we get up and we get in the closet. We start off in the closet, but somewhere along the way, we lose sight of the time that we spent in the closet. It escapes us. We leave our devotional time with so much insight and inspiration, and we are ready to leave and charge hell with a water pistol. And at some point during the day, all that zeal and enthusiasm leaves. And so I want to talk about how can we stay in the closet all day long. I open up with a quote, in your notes. And this quote comes out of the book that we've been studying on Wednesday afternoons. Powerful, powerful book. And I would encourage you that if you don't already have a copy of it, that you need to get a copy of it. We do have it in our bookstore. And the title of the book is The Hour That Changes the World. And as I was teaching on Wednesday, and I read this statement here, it just pierced me in my soul. I mean, it just pierced me and pricked me in my soul. And I said, you know, this is something that I've been struggling with for a long time, and I'm sure that other saints are struggling with the same issue too. And that is, how can you keep your devotional time, or as you notice the subtitle of the message, maintaining a devotional attitude after the devotional hour concludes. How can you have a devotional attitude after your devotional hour is over? Dick Eastman, in his book, The Hour That Changes the World, says, perhaps the greatest secret to learn about prayer is how to maintain a devotional attitude after the devotional hour concludes. We must learn to take the spirit of praise with us from the prayer closet. No amount of prayer holds value if the prayer warrior remains unchanged. Said Andrew Murray, let us be careful to consider not only the length of time we spend with God in prayer, but the power with which our prayer takes possession of our whole life. That we spend time with God, and God speaks to our hearts. And I'm not sure what devotional you use, the daily bread, or some people have through the Bible reading, and others have Chuck Swindoll's Seasons of Life, or somebody has Charles Stanley, Daily Time with God. Whatever you use, God is speaking to your heart every time that you come to Him in meditation, in devotion, and in prayer. And God will always drop a nugget on you. God will always drop a word of wisdom on you. And then He'll give that to you in your closet. And then a lot of times we get in the closet and we are behind the closet, and we have such a rich spiritual time with God in the prayer closet, and we get fired up in the prayer closet, and then all of a sudden we leave the prayer closet. And it's like I've said on many occasions before, I could be the most spiritual man in the world if it wasn't for people. And then we run into somebody. We run into somebody. And the time that we spent in the closet is all gone. And so our objective today is that we can be people who would be enriched during our time in the closet, and that there would be a transformation in our hearts and in our lives that would show up where it would be evident and obvious to other people that we spent time with Jesus. When I was at a church, pastoring, associate pastor of a church in the country, there was a deacon there, and he had this song that he would always sing. And this song has, over the years, stuck with me, and I just want to read the words of the chorus to you. The title of the song is Keep in Touch with Jesus. And what it says is, keep in touch with Jesus, though the path be dim. Let no cloud nor shadow sever you from Him. Joy or sorrow greet you, friend or foe will meet you. Keep in touch with Jesus, and He will keep you sweet. Somewhere during the day, I got to find a way to keep in touch with Jesus. I can't allow myself to be separated from my closet time and get so far from my closet time that I lose touch with Jesus. The songwriter said, keep in touch with Jesus, and He'll keep you sweet. Not keep in touch with the newspaper, not keep in touch with the Time magazine, not keep in touch with the daily news, but keep in touch with Jesus, and He'll keep you sweet. If I keep in touch with these things have a tendency to aggravate me and frustrate me and get me upset. And if I keep in touch with them, I'm going to be walking around with a scowl on my face. I'm going to be walking around with an attitude all day. Why? Because I'm keeping in touch with the wrong things. But I need to keep in touch with Jesus. And as I do that, the songwriter said, He will keep me sweet. What is the prayer closet? What is the prayer closet? The prayer closet is that designated place, and it can be your kitchen table, it can be your study, it can be your living room, it can be any place that you designate where you retreat into the presence of God to spend time with Him, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the noon, whether it's in the evening, or whether it's at night. That is the prayer closet. So don't anybody mistake me to think that I'm saying that you need to have a literal closet that you go into. And if that you don't have a literal closet to go into, then your closet time is really not that significant. Like I said, the word closet, when Jesus uses the word closet, He's using it as a metaphor to represent wherever it is that you find to spend time with Him. I find, for the most part, my prayer closet is my study at home, where I have all my Bibles and my books, and I'm able to just get alone with God in the quietness in the early morning. I like the early morning hours, just to come to, as the songwriter said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the joy I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In the closet. In the closet. When I get in the closet, the birds are singing. When I get in the closet, I can hear His voice. When I get in the closet, He pours out to my spirit. When I get into the closet, He gives me a rhema for the day. It is in the closet that I meet with Him. It is in my study that I meet with Him. It may be in your living room that you meet with Him. It may be at your dining room table that you meet with Him. But have a closet. What is your closet? As you are sitting there right now, can you say in your heart and in your mind, Pastor Glaze, I can tell you exactly where my closet is. And some people may be sitting there today and they say, well, closet. What's a closet? You know, well, that lets me know that you need to get a closet. You need to have a place that you can, as the slaves used to say, steal away to Jesus. Somebody wrote this book. It was on the bestseller. I think it still is on the bestseller, The Shack. And I said, well, I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called The Closet. The Closet. Because, you know, we can get more power in the closet than we can in the shack. You know, there's more power to be gained for you personally as you enter into the closet. As I think about Jesus Christ and His time in the closet, He is our example. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the scripture says this of Jesus. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus not only taught about the closet, but Jesus went into the closet. He had His own closet time. And from this verse, we can see three things about Jesus' closet time. First of all, He made it a priority, that the closet time for Jesus was a priority. The scripture says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. That Jesus didn't let things get by and try to fit it in somewhere. But Jesus made the closet a priority in His life. How about you, my brothers and sisters? Is the closet a priority for you? Or do we rush around? Last week, we talked about Martha and Mary, and how that we have many Marthas, that we are cumbered about with much serving. But what about you? Do you have a closet time? Have you made the closet a priority in your life? And not only did Jesus make it a priority, but He had a place. Look what the scripture says here. And rising in the morning, up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place. Jesus had a place. Now, if we look at other scriptures, Matthew 14, 13, and Luke 5, 16, we see that He went into the wilderness. We see that He went into the mountain. But Jesus had a place. He had a place where he was able to go to and to pray. And then we see that Jesus had a purpose. He not only made it a priority, he not only had a place, but he had a purpose. And what was his purpose? And there he prayed. There he prayed. Now, if the Son of God, the one who was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was proston theon, the Word was face to face with God, that whenever the beginning was, and we know that there is no beginning because Psalm 90 says from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's a long time. And the Bible says, in the beginning of everlasting. In the beginning of everlasting. Well, I can't figure it out, so he was there when it all got started. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Jesus was with God when this whole thing got started. But it didn't get started. It always was. He was always here. Okay, I'm cool now. I'm cool. And if he, who always has been and always was with God, if he thought it was important enough to have a closet time, how much more should we? In our own finiteness, in our own humanness, and we think we can do it by ourselves. And we think we can do it in our own strength and in our own power. And Jesus says, when you pray, go into your closet. And I'm just not going to tell you to go into your closet. I'm going to do it so you can see that you have an example of going into the closet. And Jesus set the bar for us. Your bar is not Pastor Glaze. Your bar is not the deacons, the deaconess. Your bar is Jesus Christ. And he set the bar. And he set the bar because he made it a priority, he had a place, and he had a purpose. What are the four devotions of the prayer closet? Matthew chapter 6. The four devotions. Now, I haven't even got into the message yet. I'm trying to get to the message. I'm getting you to the message. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 6. Jesus says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and the Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. What are the four devotions of the prayer closet? And if you are going to have a prayer closet, there are four things that you must absolutely be devoted to. I'm going to help somebody this morning. And these things are so simple, yet they are complex. These things are so deep, yet they are complex. They are simple because they're so easy to understand and do, but they are complicated because I don't understand why we don't do them. Four devotions. Four things that you must be devoted to in the closet time. First of all, there's the devotion of time. Jesus said, when you pray, he's taking it for granted. He's making an assumption that you will pray. That you have to be devoted to time. That you have to make up in your mind that you are going to set aside some time and that you're going to spend with the Lord. You know, as we move ahead as a church, I tell you what, we need every member of this church spending time with God. We need everybody. You know, don't say, well, you know, I'm dependent. You know, Pastor Glaze got me. I know he prays a couple hours, and, you know, I'm not going to pray because I know Pastor Glaze is praying enough. No. No, we need everybody. We need everybody together, pulling together, praying, and we need everybody to be devoted to a time. I don't know when your time is. It may be morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but let it be soon. You need to have a time. You need to have a time. You need to be devoted. You need to say that I'm going to set aside a time that I'm going to spend with the Lord. Like I said, I like early in the morning, and I'm not sure when your time is, but get a time to be with the Lord. And for those of us who say, you know, some of us are going to owe Moses, David, the apostles, we owe them an apology. When we get to heaven, some of y'all might as well just start working on your apology right now. Because you need to apologize. We got 9 million Bibles coming out our ears. We got 20 million devotionals, daily bread, daily talks with God, table talks. I mean, go online. We got all these devotionals online. And then somebody will say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, I've been doing a series on prayer. There's a book in the bookstore that tells you exactly how to pray for an hour. And we don't do it. And we're going to go stand before the Lord and all these people that live back in the dark ages with no electronic equipment. You know, we got blackberries and crackberries and all this other kind of stuff that we can have Bibles on. And man, we're going to owe those individuals an apology. We should be more spiritual than Paul. And he wrote most of the New Testament. We got all this stuff. And there's no excuse as to why we can't develop this intimacy with God and have this closet time with him. So we need to be devoted to a time. Secondly, we need to be devoted to a place. He said, enter into your closet. What is your closet? Identify your closet. And it might not be the same place each day, but you need to have a place where you can go and you can get before the Lord. You need to devote your attention. Notice what he says here. He says, when you enter the closet, do what? Pow! Let me do that again. Pow! Do what? Shut the door. When you enter into the closet, shut the door. What does that mean? That means that you block off all the distractions. You know, one thing I have to, you know what I got to do when I have my devotion time? I got to leave my phone somewhere else. Because on my phone, my email, I get my email and it starts buzzing. And then all of a sudden I'm like doing a robot. You know, I'm trying to, do I have my devotions? So I got to put it somewhere else because I don't want that distraction. Jesus said, shut the door. Whenever you have your time, don't let anything come between you and God. This is the most important time of the day. This is where you are spending time in the presence of the God of the universe. This thing is simple, yet still we make it complicated. You know, we want some kind of mystical experience where, you know, it's my brothers, it's as simple as you read in the Word, having a devotion, and letting God speak to your heart from the devotion, whatever it may be, God will speak to your heart. You don't have to, if he wants to speak in a voice, that's fine, but, you know, there's not going to be a voice that come out of the heater or out of your TV. God will speak to you right there from what you read. He will speak to you from what you read, and then you just pray back to him. Father, I need you to help me today. Lord, I got a lot going on in my life. And this thing is so simple. But we complicate it to the point that we make it so detailed that we can't do it. And so there needs to be a devotion to time. There needs to be a devotion to place. And then there needs to be a devotion to attention. And then there needs to be a devotion to energy. That when you spend time with God, you need to put some energy into it. You know, just don't haphazardly wander into the presence of God. But purpose in your mind that you are going to put your energy into, you know, what it is that you're getting ready to do. Just like if you were in a high-level meeting with your boss, and your boss said, look, you know, we're getting ready to make some changes here, and you really need to pay attention.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Stay in the Closet. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Stay in the Closet, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Stay in the Closet, or program number 100606. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Stay in the Closet, or program number 100606. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.